Hallelujah. Well, let's turn. Let's fire up our Bibles here, whether that's on a phone or iPad or I'm an old school guy. Well, I kind of both, but iPod. But I still, when I read, I like to use my Bible. Sometimes I'll sit earphones on and just listen to the King James, because that's the way Jesus spoke. Right? It was King James. So that's officially how Jesus talked. So, thee thouest.
No, he didn't.
John chapter 14. We're going to see the benefits of serving him. And, you know, I want it to be in the light of everything that's going on right now to help us see what's going on. You know, when we watch the news or when we watch TV or anything else, they're simply showing us the symptoms. They're not showing us the root cause. They're never going to dig in and they're just, again, everything is surfacey. Everything, is, especially in this world, is going to be reactionary, right? They're reacting to the situation. This is going on, and this is the reason why, and this is the way we see it. And we've got this analyst over here and this so-called expert, and this is why, no. But we're going to look at John chapter 14, verse 16. We'll start there. And it says, this is Jesus speaking. He says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, and that he may abide with you forever." Jesus is here, and he's telling his disciples, he's saying, hey, I'm praying that you're going to have another comforter. Verse 17, even the Spirit of truth. Everybody say the Spirit of truth.
Spirit of truth.
That's what the Holy Spirit is. It's the Spirit of truth. He reveals truths to us, which is completely opposite of what the world says, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. So there's something I think that's very important. You know, it's easy for us to get frustrated with people in the world, and it's easy for us to be frustrated with the world system, right? I am very frustrated with the world system, and Jesus fought against the world system, right? But we look here, and it says the world cannot receive the Holy Spirit. Guys, what does this tell us? We have capacity that the world doesn't have. Ever think about that? We've got capacity the world doesn't have. The world doesn't have the capacity to receive the Holy Spirit. The world doesn't have the capacity to see the Lord in areas, does it? The world doesn't have the capacity to know him. The world doesn't have the capacity for him to dwell in them. The world doesn't have the capacity for the Holy Spirit to dwell upon them. They just don't have the capacity, right? So when you listen to people and you see this junk going on TV, you see things going on and you shake your head going, do they not see it? They do not see it. Because they don't have the capacity to see the spiritual realm, do they? And so when they listen to, if they would come in and listen to me, they would think that I'm crazy. Why? Because they don't have the capacity, do they? They just don't have the ability to receive. Now, the Holy Spirit we see in the Word, it says that he reveals himself to the world, right? He convicts the world of its sin. What does that mean? When I come and I speak, or a preacher speaks, or you talk to somebody that you're working with or whoever, and you speak the word, you're not convicting the sin. The Holy Spirit is using your words to convict their heart. The Holy Spirit shows up and convicts them, right? But at that point, they don't have the capacity to be able to do that, meaning they don't have the capacity to grasp what it is that we're talking about. Doesn't have the capacity to understand Jesus. Doesn't have the capacity to understand the Holy Spirit. And it doesn't see him. It doesn't comprehend him. Verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless, but I will come to you. Now I'm skipping into verse 21. He that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me, and he that loves me shall be loved of my Father. I will love him and will manifest myself to him. What's the prerequisite here? To love him. Let's go back now. The world doesn't have the capacity to love God, does it? It doesn't. Now, it doesn't mean that God's hiding from them. It doesn't mean that God doesn't want them to accept him, and he doesn't want to be a part of their life. But what it means is they spiritually don't have the ability to connect with God. Verse 24 or 23, excuse me, Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode," or we can say home, "in him." So, it is keeping his words, honoring what he says, focusing on him. Is the world focused on keeping the Lord's word? Watch the news. That's a big fat no, good buddy, right? Breaker, breaker. No, they don't care about the word. If they would be caring about the word, we'd see some different action on TV, right? The news would be, "Oh, well, so-and-so brought cookies to their neighbor," and right? That's kind of boring. That doesn't, right? The whole image, if it bleeds, it leads, right? That means the big shock value. Everybody wants to see the big shock value, right? I know some people in here are too young, but I remember, we're coming up. I can't believe it. The 19th anniversary of September 11th. Is within another week or two, right? 19 years, almost 20 years since, it just seems like, I mean, I just remember just like yesterday, right? When that happened, I was glued to the TV. I mean, we were all glued to the TV. I remember that morning I was at home and Adrian called me and said, "Hey, you know," well, she didn't say it like that, but like, "Hey, you know," but that wasn't quite the way she said it, but she called and said, "Hey, so-and-so from the church called, and it looks like there's an accident. Somebody, a plane or something ran into like one of the Twin Towers in New York." So I flipped it on and I was watching it for a few minutes. All of a sudden the second one hit, and it just, this chill just went down my spine, right? And it just, watching on live TV. Now I know that a lot of people were at work and they saw the aftermath of it, but when I saw that, it just shook me. And people want to see the shock and awe. John chapter 15, verse 12. John chapter 15, verse 12. So, a lot of people, they want to see the big shock and awe, and they want to see all the crazy stuff. But the Lord is talking there, we just read, he wants us to abide in his word, right? Because he wants to what? Him and the Father want to live in us. They want to have their dwelling place in us. Verse 12 of John chapter 15, it says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I've loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." We don't see that on TV right now, do we? We're not seeing the laying our lives down for people. Now, our police are trying to do that, right? We're seeing some people that are really noble trying to help people and save people. So, greater love is no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That is not the world system, is it? It is dog eat dog, do what you can. We're not seeing this on the nightly news, are we? "You are my friends if you do whatever I command you." Verse 15, "Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servants know not what the Lord does, but I call you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you." So, Jesus is sitting here saying, number one, you got to love one another. Greater man has no man than he lay down his life for another person. And we're seeing, again, now the Word of God says that the greatest call or there's greatest love is that we lay our lives down for somebody else, right? And we love each other. But we're seeing on TV where evil is getting a free pass, right? That's the world system. And it's crazy. I was just watching TV the other day, and the guy's like, "Oh, everything's peaceful. Everything's wonderful." And there's like 20-foot flames behind his head. And I'm like, it was like the most hilarious thing I've ever seen in my life. And I'm thinking, you're sitting there saying it's just everything's peaceful and everything's wonderful. And there's like burning buildings in flames behind you. It's like, I'm sorry, am I in the Twilight Zone or what's going on here? But Jesus is saying that we're supposed to lay our lives down, not burn their house down, right? That's not what's supposed to be here. I think people misread their Bible here. In verse 15, henceforth, let's skip down here. I want to skip down to verse 17. These things I command you, that you love one another. Here we go. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you, right? And verse 19, if you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you, right? Remember the word that I've said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for what? My name's sake. Because they know not him that sent me. So what are they saying here? They're going to hate you because they hate me. Oh, Jesus, I don't want to hear this. This isn't happiness. These aren't happy thoughts, right? Well, that's what's going on right now, right? Now, I think that if we can get the naivety of, if we've seen the spirit realm, this isn't about Republicans, this isn't about Democrats, anything else. This is about darkness and light. If we can get to that point, right? How many watched the Republican National Convention, and did you see those prayers those people were praying? My goodness, I haven't heard prayers like that in a lot of churches. The declaration of this nation to Jesus Christ, this declaration, what we declared heard was that the name of Jesus as Lord. The woman in the first night prayed over houses that the Lord Jesus would bless the homes and people in our nation, dedicating it to Jesus Christ. I mean, Jesus was named like I don't know how many times. It was amazing, right? And so with the name of Lord Jesus Christ, that has fueled an inferno of hate. I remember the last Democrat convention, I was watching that, not this one, but the one before, and they mentioned God, and half the people booed and screamed and yelled, and some of them were, you could read their lips. They were not using, they were swearing and everything else too. You watch the old footage. These people had a hatred towards God, right? They just blatant out hate God. And not every person is like that. But I'm just saying, when you're coming down to it, when we have, this is not an attack, not just necessarily also on Donald Trump. This is a satanic attack on America, right? Because people hate Christian values. They hate Christian values. And they hate somebody who is head that is giving authority to the Christianity. So again, this isn't necessarily about politics. It's about what is right and what's wrong, and with the darkness and the light. And then you see people that are after that, people are assaulting people that are coming out of these meetings and stuff like that. So again, we need this nation to, and this is why I read these scriptures before, is because anytime the name of Jesus is invoked, anytime the name of Jesus is proclaimed, you're going to see demonic hate like never before, right? Because Jesus just said this. We're like, oh, you're just making this stuff up. No, I just read it right here. Jesus said, the world's going to hate you because they hate me, right? So we need to stop taking things personal and come back to, we're dealing with darkness and light. And we're seeing the enemy throw an absolute fit here in these last times, right? So again, just like I said, we're using scripture now. We're seeing people who don't have the capacity to see light. They don't have the capacity to understand what is being spoken, right? All they see is, I hate Jesus, I hate God, I don't want anything to do with God, I hate this junk, and everything else too, right? So, and it all comes down to, we need to see Jesus. Let's look at Romans chapter 1. Verse 17. Now, this scripture is going to bring us some good light into what's going on, right? And I think we need to get over the whole, this party or that party, and go with who is speaking righteousness, who is getting close to the Bible. Now, we know that we, you know, we have imperfect people in Washington, obviously. I don't need to tell you that, right? I mean, I think we all figured that out on both parties. Everybody's imperfect. So we're never going to get Jesus to be president, right? It's not going to happen. We're not, it's just, you know, I wish. But I wonder how many votes Jesus would get. You ever think of that, you know? If he showed up and, you know what, you're the devil, you know, no, I'm not going to give you the crumbs from my table, right? I mean, Jesus is awesome. I mean, kids loved him, right? I mean, kids wanted to be around him all the time. Romans chapter 1, verse 17. And it says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, what? The just shall live by faith." We're to live by faith. We're not to live by the news media. We're not to live by our feelings. We're not to live by our opinion. Well, I think, Jesus said that the Apostle Paul said that we are slaves. We're not our own. And there's too many people out there, "Well, I think this and I think that." God doesn't care what you think. What did we just read up there? He says, "I want you to obey my words." And somehow we think that the kingdom of God, and this is why I think the church is screwed up in so many instances, is because there's too many pastors and too many people that are thinking that we're a democracy. We're not a democracy. We're not up for vote, right? God doesn't care what we think. He died 2,000 years ago, and the New Testament's already been laid out. And he's like, this is the blueprint. This is what you follow, right? So I don't think we can vote God off the throne. So it's a kingdom, right? And a kingdom is he calls the shots, and we just obey. Verse 18: "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all of the ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in what? Unrighteousness." People who don't hold fast to these truths, they're going to see judgment, right? I don't want people to see judgment, but it's going to come because the word says so. Verse 19, "Because that which may be known of God is manifest to them, God has shown it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." What this means is we can walk outside and we can see the manifestation of God in nature, right? That's how powerful God is. Verse 21, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but because vain in their imaginations and foolish heart was darkened." Here we go. "Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools." You ever notice these people that are God haters and that are absolutely in dark? They profess themselves to be so wise and so intellectual. You ever notice that? The fake intellectualism just kind of gags me out, right? I had a lot of professors in college, and it's like they didn't have enough common sense to come in and out of the rain, you know? And I'm just like, whatever. You know, it was ridiculous. I had one professor one time, we got in a conversation, and he goes, "Well," he was a psychologist, and he goes, "I don't know." Now the guy's got a PhD in psychology, okay, and I'm thinking it's it. But it was hilarious, and I walked away and just laughed so much. I thought, this is a good story for later. But I'm like, it's one of those things where you keep your mouth shut, you write it down, and you walk out, you know, you're just like, okay, you know, I don't want to get into it. But he's into this, you know, his big intellectual thing, you know, and everything else, and blah, 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 I'm smart, and look at me, blah, 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 blah. So at the end of it, or in one of the lectures he was given, he's talking about parenting, and he says, "You know what, I believe that it's 80% luck and 20% parenting," and I thought, "Well, why do I need you as a psychologist then?" Anyway, so it's just funny things like that, that you think, all right, you're professing yourself to be wise, but again, you are full of contradictions. And that's what the word says here. Anytime we separate ourselves from God and we try to have some kind of intellectual, you know, we're gonna end up being fools at the end of it, right? Because just like Proverbs says, those who, you know, don't believe in God are fools, right? Then in verse 23, "And change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image like a corruptible man, and to birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things." Okay? "Wherefore, God has also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts dishonor their own bodies, I'm verse 24 now, between themselves, who change the truth of God to a lie. Interesting here, isn't it? They change the truth of God into a lie, right? You see that all on TV. And worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Well, we need to say this. They worship themselves and their own intellect and what they think more than God. We were at the Ark there, and it was interesting, in Kentucky, and they had in the Ark, they had, when you go there, there's a big building. They have kind of, well, they have a couple of gift shops, but one area, they have a big theater area. It's a big building there. They kind of, you park in a parking lot, and then they take you around the buses up this big kind of area, and then you drop it off in kind of like a big meeting center. There's a gift shop, and you go in, and there's a big screen there, and there's some other buildings, and there's a restaurant, some other things, and then there's the Ark. Well, there was one we wanted to, and I think we got it. Don't we have that, Ray Comfort? Anyway, so Ray Comfort was talking to it was Berkeley professors, or it was California somewhere. I think it was maybe Berkeley professors. And anyway, they were, you know, evolution theory and everything. So, and it was funny because they just looked ridiculous, you know, with their answers. They're just like, you know, why these people waste so much money on the college? I don't have anything against college, obviously, but I'm like, you listen to him, you're thinking, you got a PhD. I mean, it was ridiculous. But anyway, so at the end of it, they're talking to just students, you know, walking around the campus, and they're talking about different things. And so they all believed in evolution. And at the end of the conversation, his question was, do you have a dog? Oh, yeah, I've got a dog. Or they have a cat or a pet or something. Now, if your cat or your dog was drowning, and another person was drowning, but you didn't know them, which one would you save? What do you think they chose? The dog. Why? Because evolution in itself, and secularism, and communism, and socialism, reduces us down to a hunk of meat. It reduces us down to, we are no longer God's creation. We are no longer sons and daughters of the Most High. We are an organism that is expendable. So what happens is, if we're all organisms that are expendable, then I'll save the puppy because I know the puppy, and the puppy gives me good feelings. This person is another organism. I don't know them. So now it's an emotional attachment is what it is, right? See this path that it's taken us down? It's taken us down, and we're seeing this politically, we're seeing this everything else too. We hate God, we hate the name of Jesus, we hate anybody that prays about God. But then we want to have socialism and Marxism and communism, and what does it do? It reduces us down to a hunk of meat, where evolution is all about reducing us down to a life form that will someday be exposed of, and then new life form will come and everything else too. And again, that's abortion and everything else too that's coming down the pipeline, because it doesn't matter, right? And it doesn't hurt that we make a bunch of money out of body parts either. So that doesn't hurt. So anyway, but the point is that anytime we're that, we lose our, and I like to think of it as losing our quality control there. We're getting off. I remember working at Vermeer, and we have some quality people come along, and you're getting your caliber is get, you're getting out of caliber, right? Or you're getting out of control, you're getting out of spec. And what happens is, we'd have I had one too, and I'd check every once in a while. But you have a tape measure, and you'll see, like, usually every tape measure has two little rivets on the end of it, where you have the little steel hook where you hook onto something, and then your tape measure is attached to it, the rivets. What happens is, you pull on that long enough that, because your tape measure is made out of really thin metal, right? And what happens is, over time, when you pull on it hard enough, those holes with that rivet, that it will expand and you'll be out of tolerance. Well, what happens is, you get this little metal ruler. It's probably maybe, I don't know, 6 inches long, maybe about like that. And you come along, you check it. Well, when you check it and it's out of tolerance is because, again, you've worn that out and you're out of caliber. You're out of tolerance. What happens is this. If I use that, then my parts, or I had calipers that I, you know, measure things in the thousands, and, you know, I go around and check things and parts and different things like that and look at things. If that's out, then what happens? Then my parts are all trash, right? They're all garbage because I've only got a certain tolerance there. That's the same with this, where we can get out of tolerance where we think that we're okay, but we're not okay. We're actually, so that's why the Word of God is so important, because it helps keep us balanced and keeps us back in that zone of tolerance, right? It helps keep us on track. When we watch TV, and that's where we're getting what we call all relative, morality, where morality is not based on the Word of God anymore. It's based on what I feel like, right? Watch a video, and it was extremely disturbing, that I had to watch anyway. But it was about this, it was all about everything that's going on. But the point was that it all came down to these particular people group weren't being heard. So, and supposedly they didn't feel like they'd been heard over so many years, that it was now okay to do all this chaos, right? And they're justified because they were never heard of. They were not, their voices weren't heard, and you know. So it's, again, you're getting off because I feel this way that I can burn things down and terrorize things and everything else too. It's never okay to do that stuff, right? The Bible says, we just read it, to lay our lives down for other people. We don't go and trash you for my expense. That's never been the case. It's never been, that's not obviously what America is about at all. And that's not what the Bible teaches at all. But what happens is, I feel this way, so then therefore it's okay. No, it's never okay. It's never okay, right? So that's, again, our morality, it gets off when we don't keep it, we don't have it in check or keep in tolerance with the Word of God. We can drift off, right? Forever. I mean, think about it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Remember those guys? You know? Good old Nebuchadnezzar. Things had gotten so out of whack that this guy decided, I'm going to make this big statue myself. Everybody's going to bow down to me. If they don't, I'm going to, you know, smoke them, right? Yeah. And then three guys decided, we're not going to do it, because things had got so far off, so out of whack. So again, when we expose ourselves to worldly stuff, we aren't as sharp as we need to be, and that's why we got to come back and recalibrate. How do we recalibrate? Get in the Word. Pray. Spend time with the Holy Spirit, right? He's going to show us things. That's what I always like to watch Andy Griffith show. And we're like Andy Griffith, you know, and we watch Leave It to Beaver around our house. And I like the Three Stooges. Not everybody in the house appreciates the art form of the Three Stooges. And it is an art form. Your initials, Adrian Ansel. But anyway, but I like to watch those things. Why? Because it's a simpler time, right? It's a simpler time. You know, is it perfect? No. But what it does, it helps. So I don't have to be so, and I don't want to be cynical and angry towards people, right? Because I want to keep myself. And let me just say this: people in the world, and people maybe I still care about these people, right? But also, too, I've got to keep myself in focus and in check instead of just drifting. I love that analogy that John Brevere gave when talking about the Lord gave him, where everybody's floating down. He was kind of paddling against a bunch of people were in inner tubes, and they're all kind of floating down the river. Remember that? And he said he was paddling against him, like, Lord, what's this? And he says, well, that's the world. Everybody's just going along with the flow, but you're paddling against it. Mm-hmm. Nobody said this is going to be easy walk, you know, and at too many churches, they think that there's joy in this journey, guys. I'm not saying there isn't, but we've got to come to the point where it is a war. God told us a war. He told us people are going to hate us. They're not going to like us. And The two people groups that are most persecuted are going to be worldwide are Christians. There's over 100,000 Christians every year that are murdered because of their faith, and the Jews, right? So, you know, those two people groups there have some of the most, but we also have power over this, don't we? We also have the authority. We have Jesus in us and upon us. So anyway, we'll just, I still got a lot here to go, but that's okay. We can finish it up next week. But my point is tonight not to go, but we need to wake up. We need to say, Lord, what is it that you want us to do? Amen. And I think most of us here are definitely in agreement, but we want God on it. We want God in this nation. We want God in our lives because he's the only one that can fix us, right? I mean, you know, all I know is this, if we go completely secularism, we're not going to fix anything. Nothing's going to get fixed. Nothing's going to turn around, right? It's never worked in any other nation. It's never, ever going to work, and it never has, and it never will. But we know that God can change people. He can turn things around for this nation. We can, you know, I'm believing for revival, right? I am not, I'll make this statement. You know, the person that I wanted to go for president was not even Republican or Democrat, right? Not even either one of them is who I originally wanted. And so I am totally into what God wants. But coming back to this is, we need Jesus. We need him to fix some things, and he can, right? We need to keep our focus, our blinders just focused on him. And also, too, not getting caught up in what the media says. Yes, COVID is real. Not Israel, but is R-E-A-L. There we go. It's not Israel, not the nation of Israel. But it's a real thing, but we don't have to be in fear over it, do we? We don't have to be terrified of this because we know the one that lives inside of us, right? We can watch TV and we can know that, hey, we don't have to live in that realm. I don't have to have that mentality. I don't have to live in fear. I don't have to live in anguish. I don't have to be in anxiety. I don't have to have this junk come upon me because that's really what the world system is all about. We're not talking about people here. We're talking about the demonic forces that try to influence. You understand what I'm talking about, right? I'm not talking about, you know, necessarily this person, this political party or that political party. I'm talking about spirits behind the scenes that are working on people, whether it's the news media, political areas, whatever that is, trying to invoke fear on you that should not be there. We should not live in fear. We should not live in anxiety at all. We should live in peace. Even though there's chaos going on around us, we can still have the peace of God that passes understanding living on the inside of us. Amen. No matter what threat comes our way, praise God. I got it. You know, I remember, I've said it before, just as I'm closing here. I remember Lester Sumrall talking about visiting Smith Wigglesworth in England. He was there, and then the war broke out, and they made him come back to the United States. But Smith would not let a newspaper in his house. He said, "That's demonic propaganda. I don't want to hear the world system. I don't want it in my house." Right. So, well, that's just crazy. That's just over religious. I don't think so. You know, I don't think that's. We need to guard our hearts and our minds for those things that are lovely and pure and righteous, and we don't, there are just times where I just won't even watch the news because it's just like, I don't need that. I don't need to meditate on that junk. That's me personally. You may be different, but the point is this, I want to keep my mind clear. I want to keep my mind focused. I don't need fear. I don't need this junk in my mind all the time. I want to be aware of things that are going on, but I don't have to meditate it all the time. I meditate on the goodness of God. Amen. That he and his peace live in me and upon me, and I can have peace at all times, and I can live in health. Amen. Because of the stripes of Jesus. Amen. Father, I thank you for these people tonight. I'm praying right now over, just like we saw this week on TV, that God, that there, it's to be encouraged that there are people out there that love you, Lord. that there are large portions of people in this nation and in this world that Jesus, that we do declare you as our God. The Lord, it's encouraging to see people on primetime TV declare that Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Lord God, we're excited for those things and we declare it, Lord God. We thank you. We pray. We know that our politicians are not perfect, but Lord, that's why you told us to pray for them. Whether they're Democrat, Republican, Independent, it doesn't matter. Lord, we pray. We pray for our president and vice president. We pray for our Congress leaders and those in Senate. We pray for our governor, Lord, lieutenant governor. Also, those in the judicial system, Lord, we pray right now that they have the mind of Christ. We thank you that you are sending men, godly men and women across their paths into them so that they can have a word in due season, Lord Jesus. And we declare that if they reject godly wisdom, the Lord, you'll replace them with other people that will come along in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord. And you know, I continue to pray there are just other godly men and women that would step up. And you know, and there's a, if you don't know, that there's a manifesto, and I've read part of it, but there's a manifesto that the secular communists have, and they're infiltrating. They're doing, unfortunately, a good job, but they had a plan back in, I think, the late 50s to infiltrate the schools, our political system, judicial. I mean, it's everything. They have a plan. They're seeing how it's going. We need to have, I'm just praying for a plan for Christians that we'll have a plan to infiltrate the government. Amen? Mm-hmm. Because we're called to do it. Well, you know, Christians and churches shouldn't be involved in government. That's not true. Our nation, that they focused on our Constitution and our, everything was based on the Word of God. Everything was based on the Word of God that we see. And were the founding fathers perfect? Nobody's perfect. But you know what? They were doing the best they could, and they were coming from tyranny. Amen. And I like how somebody said how, Israel was a nation that God loved, but the United States is a nation that loves God. And that's a big difference between the two. So, amen. Praise God. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Well, Wednesday night, we're going to have prayer again. We're going to kick things off and pray up a storm. So if you're not on that call, get on that call. It's exciting. We have a good time. Amen. Have a good week.